What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer, three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog. And I also write for Sports Al Dente and all LA sports website where I cover the Chargers as well. We also do a Facebook live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly during the season. And this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys. Well, training camp is right around the corner. We are almost there to seeing guys with pads on, and we are all super excited about it because we all know that's when things really get done in the off season. I mean, everything's nice in the mini camps and the voluntary workouts and all that stuff, but we all know spots aren't earned until the pads come on. All right, so on today's show, we will get back into our position group breakdown series, but we're going to start with Anthony Lynn, because Anthony Lynn on NFL.com was put as the eighth best coach in the NFL. I know John was showing me a list, I mean, a couple months ago about when Anthony Lynn first came in. He was the 32nd ranked coach in the league as a rookie. Last year, he was somewhere, you know, around 15th. Now going into his third season, he's the eighth best coach in the NFL, according to NFL.com, which, I mean, is super high praise, guys. So let's start there. And let me just start by, you know, talking about the other guys that are ahead of him. I mean, Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll, Sean Payton, Andy Reid, Doug Peterson, Sean McVay. I mean, all of those guys have had deep playoff runs, Super Bowl wins, you know, something or the other. The guys he's behind are all extremely good and well-regarded coaches. Even John Harbaugh makes it ahead of him. He has a Super Bowl win. So, David, when you see that Anthony Lynn coming in eighth, what does that make you think? Do you think he's starting to get the respect that he deserves? Because, I mean, he's up there with a very elite list of coaches.
Yeah, no, I think he definitely is starting to get the recognition and respect that he deserves as a head coach. I think if you look at his record, I mean, it speaks for itself. He's got over 20 wins and I think only about 12 losses in his tenure. And I think, you know, from the outside looking in, you know, the culture has 100% been changed. And I think that's a reflection of Anthony Lynn as the head coach. I think he came in here and he demanded respect by the way he carried himself, his history in the game, winning championships, and, you know, getting guys that want to play for him, that want to go out to battle for him. And, you know, just some of the antics on the sidelines, you know, when he says bow up and he puts the arms up. I mean, those are the kind of things that you didn't see beforehand. I just think he brings a level of respect, a level of discipline. And I think he's a coach that guys want to play for. So I am so happy to have Anthony Lynn as the Chargers head coach. And I think he's only going to grow and get better. And I don't think it'll be very long until he's got a Super Bowl trophy of his own as a head coach.
Wow, I mean, that's a hot take right there. But I think Anthony Lynn is getting the respect that he deserves. I mean, David, if you take away his 0-4 start to his career, he's 22-8 since then. I mean, that's a pretty ridiculous record. And, John, the thing that sticks out to me is Anthony Lynn's really the only guy on here that isn't some sort of specialist, at least from 8 and above that. You have John Harbaugh, defensive specialist, and the rest of them, you know, Sean McVay, Doug Peterson, Andy Reid, all of those guys, Sean Payton, those guys are offensive-minded guys. I mean, Pete Carroll maybe a little less, but then you have Bill Belichick, who's just, I mean, obviously, you know, probably the best coach of all time. But, John, I think that says a lot for a guy like Anthony Lynn, who, like we've said many times, is not an offensive guru, is not a defensive guru. He's just a guy that comes in and demands respect in the locker room, like David said, and he just also lets the players seem to be themselves, because it's not like he just came in as a hard ass and everyone hated going into practice. I mean, everyone hated it when it was Mike McCoy, and I don't think the Chargers could have went any more opposite with Anthony Lynn, and it's paid off in a big way.
It has, and I think that's the big difference with the Chargers' success is you have a coach who's there to be the head coach, and the coordinators can do their job. Whereas you had guys like North Turner, who was trying to run the offense and run the team. Mike McCoy running the offense and running the team. And Mike McCoy didn't get any respect from the players in that process. He was trying to be their friend rather than be their coach, which is why they all turned on him. Anthony Lynn comes in and is just the head coach. He gets the discipline in the locker room and on the field. He makes sure everything's going right. He has the coordinators in their place. He has the players in their place. And I think that's the big difference with this team compared to the other coaches. And if it wasn't for that, if Anthony Lynn, say, was trying to control the offense or something, I think you would see a big lack in players having fun on the field, players being able to learn from each other and stuff like that, because it'd be the same thing with Mike McCoy probably.
Well, and that's always been my take on the subject. I've always said that, you know, Andy Reid would probably be better as an offensive coordinator, being able to just put all of his time into that and not worrying about finding a red flag in his sock. You know, that's not Andy Reid's specialty. Time management isn't Andy Reid's specialty. If he could just focus on play calling and things like that, that would probably be the best position for him. And that's just an example. I mean, there's plenty of guys, even Sean McVay. I mean, he would probably be better if he was just an offensive coordinator and he could just throw all of his time into that without having to manage the personalities, without having to do anything like that. And I think that, to me, Anthony Lynn is kind of like Mike Tomlin. I mean, before things blew up, I mean, Mike Tomlin isn't really known for anything specifically. No one's saying, hey, this team has a great defense because of Mike Tomlin, as they would with a guy like John Harbaugh. It's like the defensive coordinator in the Ravens doesn't really get much respect because everyone just assumes, hey, that has John Harbaugh's fingerprints all over it. So it was really nice to see Anthony Lynn start to get that respect. And I think the biggest thing for Anthony Lynn, David, is his ability to kind of bounce back from things. I mean, the Chargers, you know, faced really tough sledding when they started 0-4 in his first year. They went on to go 9-7 that season, even after that 0-4 start, which was really bouncing back. And they had that bittersweet taste of ending on a high note, but also missing the playoffs. So what do they do next year? They come back, they do way better in one possession games. They make the playoffs, and then they have their hearts broken by the Patriots. So I think this has all been a huge learning curve for Anthony Lynn. But from what we've seen so far in those two seasons, that's one of the things I respect the most, is his ability to have those players rally around a tough moment like that and come back and be better, because that's what teams do. They have tough moments and they recoup and they rally around it and they come back and do better. And that's what the Chargers hope for this season.
Well, and Anthony Lynn also did a great job of just learning from those mistakes and making the adjustments later on. And I think he's done that year after year as a head coach. And I also love just the aggressiveness that he showed as a head coach, going for those moves, going for two, not showing any hesitation, doing that several times and being very successful at it. I think it takes a set of balls to go and go for those plays when it's, you know, the odds are not in your favor. But, you know, I think Anthony Lynn's that type of coach who, you know, he believes in his preparation, believes that, you know, he believes in his team and his players, that they're going to go out and execute. And I think that belief and his ability to change and get better from his mistakes has made him a good head coach and only going to be a better one.
I think that's a great point you make right there with the aggressiveness of Anthony Lynn. I mean, we saw that play, obviously, in Kansas City going for two. We've seen a countless other times when it's, you know, fourth down and he trusts his team to go out there and get a first down. And you have to love that, because the players notice those things and they know that their coach is putting his belief and, to some extent, his job security on the line when he rolls those guys out there for those plays. So love what Anthony Lynn's done. I think he has a ways to go as far as game management and things like that. I mean, we saw last year they were up 15 and they decided to try to kick the extra point against Seattle, I believe it was, to go up by 16, when everything in the world would tell you to go for two there and you can put yourself up three scores. And we saw how that game played out. I mean, it went down to the wire, fourth and goal. So I think he does have a ways to go there. But like you said, he's been learning from his mistakes and he's been getting better and better. And hopefully we continue to see that upward trajectory and Anthony Lynn can plant his flag at the top of the league as far as coaches. But we do have two more segments to get into, and both of them are going to be regarding cornerbacks. That's the position group we're breaking down today. A lot to talk about with the cornerbacks, a big position that many people didn't think was addressed fully in the offseason. So we'll get into that right after this. But first, I need to tell you guys that it was a pretty hard decision for the Chargers to go with Anthony Lynn over a bunch of, you know, really trendy names and offensive gurus and defense gurus. But I'll tell you one thing. It's not a hard decision to switch your bedroom game up and go to BlueChew.com. Yes, that's blue, like the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as the pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. The best part about Blue Chew, guys, besides the fact that we're going to give it to you for free today, is that there's no more awkwardness. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. There's no in-person doctor visits. There's no waiting in line at the pharmacy. So there's no more awkwardness. Right now, we have a special deal for our listeners. When you visit BlueChew.com, you get your first shipment for free. Like I said, when you use the special promo code Locked On, all you have to do is pay the $5 in shipping. The product is free. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code Locked On to try it free, guys. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. All right, guys, now it's time to get back into our 2019 position group breakdown series, talking about the cornerbacks today. We've had a bunch of other positions. We have a few left to go as we go full steam ahead into training camp. But on today's show, we're talking corners. And this is one of the better positions in my mind on the Chargers roster. But at the same time, guys, a lot of people were upset that the Chargers didn't do more in the offseason to help out this position. I think really when it comes down to it, that means people aren't sold on Michael Davis and also Trevor Williams, either or, because one of those two guys will be the starter outside of Casey Hayward, and I know a lot of people want Casey Hayward to have a bounce back season as well, and we'll get into that too. But John, for me personally, I didn't have as much of a problem with the corners as a lot of people did. I think to me, the Chargers have one of the better, you know, corner trios or whatever ends up being out there for the starters in the NFL.
I agree. I mean, there's going to be four guys that probably definitely make this roster for sure, barring injury. And it's got to be Casey Hayward, Desmond King, Trevor Williams, and Michael Davis. And if you have those four guys, you got depth. Even starter-wise, if it's just Casey Hayward, Desmond King, and either one of those two, Trevor Williams or Michael Davis, you got a good starting role with one guy on the side that's going to be able to replace one of them if someone goes down. The fact that we didn't address it, I don't have a problem with it. I have no problem with us not addressing the corner situation. We have four really good guys. All you need is just one guy to come off the bench, really.
You're going to have a pretty much open competition at that open cornerback spot between Michael Davis and Trevor Williams. I think I speak for all of us when I say I don't think there's another guy to be throwing their hat into the ring for that position group, but I've been surprised before. And talking about depth, I know they really like Brandon Faison even behind him as well, behind both of those guys. So I think the Chargers aren't as thin as people think they are at the cornerback position. But that's something we got to get into, David, because 2017 was Trevor Williams' big year. I mean, he had a really good year starting on the opposite side of Casey Hayward after Jason Verrett got hurt for the umpteenth time. And he really just made a name for himself. I mean, there was some flaws in his game, but that was his best season by far. And he absolutely anchored down that starting cornerback job. And then in 2018, got off to a really slow start dealing with injuries before finally shutting it down and giving way to Michael Davis, who, even though we pretty much bashed on Michael Davis any chance that we got before last season, came in and played very respectably. I think he had a 70.2 overall grade on Pro Football Focus, which is what you'll take, I mean, out of your third best corner. Honestly, and the biggest thing we saw from him was turning his head around. You know, how many times yell at him for not getting his head around and making a play on the ball? Well, he did that last year. So when it comes down to that cornerback position, David, how close do you think it's going to be? And are you leaning one way or the other as to which way the Chargers might go?
Yeah, no, it's going to be a really interesting battle, man. It's going to be really fun to watch those two battle it out for that CB2 position. I think we all know Casey Hayward is going to anchor one side, but I think Michael Davis and Trevor Williams are going to be battling it out all spring training, and it's going to be interesting to see who gets the leg up. I think once Michael Davis late in the year learned to turn his head around, and I know it sounds very elementary, guys, listening, trust me, I get it, but it was a huge thing. I mean, Michael Davis has the size, has the speed, he has the physical traits. That was never, ever in question. It was the, hey, I need you to turn around and make a play on the football so you don't get called for pass interference all the time like he used to. As soon as that happened and it clicked, we were like, man, this guy's got, starter potential. And he showed it as soon as that happened. And we all saw what Trevor Williams was able to do when he was healthy. He was one of the good cornerbacks in the league. I have no problem saying that. So if Michael Davis continues to build off of the small things that he learned from last year, and Trevor Williams is able to regain his form from 2 years ago, the Chargers are going to have a really, really good problem on their hands come 2019 season.
Yeah, and they both did certain things really well. And Trevor Williams in 2017 was one of the better rated cornerbacks on Pro Football Focus in the NFL, and especially in deep coverage. He only allowed 4 receptions on 20 targets in deep coverage, did Trevor Williams in 2017, which is just an absolutely ridiculous number. That's 20% of the time they targeted him deep, they actually made the reception. So that was absolutely his strength. And then Michael Davis last year was very good in the red zone. He was targeted more than 8 times in the red zone and didn't give up a single touchdown. But, John, I think it might be more elementary than that even, because I think with these guys, what it might come down to, and it's not something people think about with corners, is the tackling. Both of these guys have struggled with tackling throughout their career at certain times. I mean, some games are good, some games they're bad. If you remember in 2018, last year against the Rams, there was that Cooper Kupp reception where Trevor Williams just slides right off of him and he scores a really long touchdown. And then in that divisional round against the Patriots, Michael Davis had a really sloppy tackling game in that one. I think he had a 25.7 tackling grade by Pro Football Focus in that game and had 3 sub-30 grades on the season. So as much as you need to cover as a corner, Gus Bradley wants a guy that can tackle. So I think the tackling part of it is going to be a big part of this competition.
It is. And when we get into the little scrubby guys that are at the bottom of the roster at corner, you'll see just how much tackling plays a role in who they bring in and who they grab. And with those two guys struggling a lot of times with tackling, they could also be preparing to lose their jobs after this year if that tackling doesn't improve. There's at least 3 guys that have over 100 tackles in their college career that are rookies, undrafted rookies on this roster right now. If Michael Davis and Trevor Williams cannot fix that, they might be gone after this year. But you're right. Whoever wins that position to be the other starter is going to be the one that tackles better during training camp, during preseason. And if you're even the starter week one and you say throughout the first 3 games your tackling's bad, you're going to lose your spot.
Yeah, unless the team decides they need to keep you in there, even if you're bad because of team chemistry.
Oh, yeah. We forgot to adjust that with Anthony Lynn, the offensive line.
Yeah, Trevor Williams goes up 4 touchdowns week one, but Michael Davis can't come in because, you know, the whole chemistry thing. But, I mean, speaking of the scrubbies, I mean, we have some of those guys to talk about coming up in the next segment, as well as Casey Hayward. Can he return to form? Desmond King, what is his ceiling? And then, you know, maybe some shots for some guys at the bottom of the roster to maybe make their way onto the opening 53-man team. So we have that coming up right after this. All right, guys, continuing our cornerback coverage here for the position group breakdowns for 2019 going into training camp. So we talked about Trevor Williams. We talked about Michael Davis. I think we all know that that's going to be a heated competition, and it's probably the position battle I'm most excited to see play out, because I think whoever wins that job is winning it over a pretty good player, and I don't think that's anything to scoff at. But there's a couple guys that do not have their positions up for grab, John, and that's Casey Hayward and Desmond King. So let's start with Casey. I know a lot of people were kind of bagging on him last year because he was so good before that. I thought Casey had an okay year, a pretty good year. I don't think that the bottom just fell out from under him. I don't think he totally hit the cliff as far as production goes. I think that there is a good chance that Casey Hayward can actually come back this year and get closer, if not all the way there, get a lot closer to what we saw in 2017 as opposed to 2018.
Yeah, I was really puzzled by his play last year. Like, I was wondering if he was hiding an injury or something. Like, he wasn't the same guy. It was really puzzling. And I don't know if it's age, hidden injury, or if it was just a down year. But if it was just a down year or an injury, you'd have to think that, yeah, he has to be coming back to his normal self, if not all the way to being a better than himself type of player. If it's age, then yeah, we probably won't see much of an improved Casey Hayward. But I'm gonna go with, if it's just a down year for him. Every player has that kind of year where you look at them and you go, oh, he's not the same guy anymore. It might be time to cut him. And then they come back and they have another three great years. I would have to imagine he is gonna be coming back and having a great year. What do you think is going through his head right now? Do you think he is motivated after what he did last year to come back and be that Pro Bowl corner that we all expect him to be? Do you think he's using that for motivation right now?
I think he has to be, because I think, you know, those couple of really good years, I'm talking 2016, 2017, he has to believe he's one of the best corners in the game. And 2018 was closer to 2016 as far as production goes, but 2017 was, I mean, an absolutely ridiculous season where a lot of people thought he might have been the best corner in the NFL. So I think that he might not improve, like you said, but if he can just get back to where he was, I think the Chargers would take that in a heartbeat. I do think, though, that if you see him struggling early in the season, it might start popping up a couple of red flags, because we don't know when the athletic part of that is going to kick in and his age is going to sap a little bit of that away from him. So I think he has such good instincts, though, outside of his physical traits and tools. I think his instincts, his knowledge of the game, the way he can pin receivers to the sideline and all of those things are going to have a giant impact. I think last year he got beat on a couple of double moves where he ended up not within 20 yards of a guy for a touchdown. And I think that really hurts your image as far as, you know, what people think of you as a corner, even though really it's just a couple of bad plays. So I think we have to hope that that's the case with Casey Hayward.
Also with Casey Hayward, last year he had zero interceptions. He had four the previous year and had seven in 2016. So I'm looking for Casey Hayward to get back into the INT column, hopefully times about five or six, to get back to closer to his career averages.
Well, I think he just was targeted a lot less last season, too, because of what he had done the last couple of years. And so when that happens, I mean, you can get lulled to sleep over there. And the sample size is a lot smaller. So if you make a few mistakes in that sample, I mean, it looks a lot worse and people think less of you. I don't think we're going to see Casey Hayward just drop off of a cliff this year. I think he should be coming back for a big season. But I do want to talk about Desmond King. I know his rookie year, he was, you know, phenomenal, and we were so excited to see what he could do. Last year, my bold prediction is that we would think of him as the Chargers' best cornerback when things were all said and done in the 2018 season, and that really is the case, I mean, to a large extent. I mean, he was the Chargers' best corner, even playing primarily out of the slot, and I think he's found his home there, David. But at the same time, what is his ceiling? How valuable is he to this team? Because he is still a slot corner. But at the same time, he's the best slot corner in the league, and you see him all over the field every single game, it feels like.
Well, you just got to love his tenacity and the way he tackles. I mean, he's such a sure tackler, former wrestler. You can see it in the way he goes about his business. And, hey, some of the most athletically gifted guys on the opposing offenses is their slot receiver. So to have that ability to lock down that position or lock down a running back or lock down a tight end if he's given that assignment, Desmond King has shown that he can do that consistently against anyone he lines up against. So no matter whether he's a slot corner or not, I think Desmond King is a weapon no matter where you put him, whether you put him outside or inside. I think he could do both just as well. We just benefit from having a strong outside corner. So Desmond King gets to shine in the slot. I think he's starting to get the recognition around the league that he so rightfully deserves. And thank God he is so young. He's going into his third year. So I think sky is the limit for Desmond King. I think he's going to continue to get better.
Yeah, I think Pro Football Focus had him ranked as the second best coverage corner last year in all of football. So I think that says a lot. He definitely thrives in zone coverage. I mean, that's where he's at his best. Same with Casey Hayward. He thrives in zone coverage as well, which is why they fit so nicely into Gus Bradley's defense. And probably a little bit of the reason that they struggled against the Patriots as well, because we all know that Tom Brady absolutely shreds zone defenses. But no, there's no use, you know, opening up those old wounds right now. But I think the slot cornerback has kind of a stigma. The name slot cornerback has kind of a stigma to it. But I think that's going away just because of how often teams are passing. It's just such a passing league now that your base formation basically has three cornerbacks in it. I mean, Desmond King is a starter for all intents and purposes. And I think that really a slot cornerback with how much teams have three wide receivers on the field, with how much teams are starting to spread it out, you need a really good guy in that position. I mean, a few years ago, we had Patrick Robinson there, and he played really well for us in the slot corner position. And I think it's just not something to be undervalued, because I think it is a truly important piece in 2019 to have a guy like that. And obviously, we're not even talking about his, you know, punt return specialties and all of those other things that he brings to the table. I would like to see maybe a little bit more blitzes from Des King this year, because we saw that be super effective his rookie season. And I think Derwin James kind of got all of those snaps last year. But hey, who says it has to be one or the other? Am I right? I mean, I think they blitz better than most of the linebackers do for the Chargers. And what's up with that? Like, Jatavis Brown, a bunch of sacks as a rookie. Des King, a bunch of sacks. I mean, for a corner as a rookie. Derwin James, a bunch of sacks as a rookie for a safety. Why can't it just keep going? But, John, since I was, you know, talked about special teams a little bit there, I do want to talk about some guys that are on the bottom of this list that would need to play a lot of special teams to make the team. So when we're talking about the bottom of the list, I think that Brandon Faison is still pretty safe right now. I think Jeff Richards probably has a good shot just because he's been here the last couple of seasons, has seen time on the practice squad, seen time on the roster. But it's the other guys I'm really wondering about if they can make a big impact. So when you're talking about guys like Bradford Lemons, when you're talking about Rodney Randall, and I mean other guys that people haven't heard about, Arian Springs, Keeman Hall, are there any of those guys that pique your interest as far as a guy that might be not really known right now but has a chance to make the team?
For sure, I would have to say it's Rodney Randall. Out of those four guys, he gave me the biggest hope, I would say, for an undrafted corner to make the team. He ran a 4.28 40-yard dash and was also a kickoff return specialist, was also on kickoff team, and was also a corner who made a lot of tackles in his career. So if we go over some stats of his, he had 170 tackles with 5 interceptions, including 21 passes defense. And when it came to kickoff returns, he returned 84 kickoffs in his career for over 1,800 yards and a touchdown. So with this guy's speed and being able to play both sides of special teams and be a corner, I think he has a great chance at maybe fighting for that final cornerback spot. But with the other guys, I mean, they have a lot of good tackles with them that come with them. Arian Springs had a lot of tackles. He's really good at tackling, especially from the corner position. But when it came to playing against tall wide receivers, he was a real mismatch. So I think that alone is going to make him not make this team. Keeman Hall has a really good profile on him, but he played for Conference USA, and the only real wide receiver threat I could really look at that he played against was Cortland Sutton, who plays for the Broncos now. He did pretty good against him. He got an interception against him, but it's Conference USA, so, I mean, who else are you going to cover? They had one good wide receiver. You can double-team him, which helps him out, which they did a lot. North Texas double-team, Cortland Sutton, and Keeman Hall benefited from that. And then with Brandon Lemons, he was a converted wide receiver. He's only had 2 years of cornerback experience, so I don't see him even making it past the first cuts, really. The first cuts timeline, I should say.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Because, yeah, now the Chargers are allowed to keep pretty much all of the guys, you know, until they have to make that really big cut now at the end. But, yeah, I think Rodney Randall is the guy that stands out. It reminds me a lot of last year when you had Tony Brown out of Alabama, who was like Anthony Lynn's second cousin or something somehow. But I think you see the speed, you see his, you know, the ability to make tackles and be a playmaker, and you also see the kickoff returns, because the Chargers right now, Desmond King, I think everyone would agree, is the punt returner, the starting punt returner to start the season. But they do not have a real kickoff return guy right now. So I think that he could be that guy. I mean, that could be a way for him to at least get on the team. And it's going to have to be that and a lot of good play on special teams. Because with guys on the end of this list, I think special teams is how you make it. I mean, we all know that, guys. And everyone thought, you know, Tony Brown would be a really good special teamer. He didn't end up making the roster. But that's how Rodney Randall would have to do it. And when you have a guy with 4.28 speed, the coaching staff is going to want to hope that they can actually turn that into something. So I think we're going to see a lot of him in the preseason and maybe a lot of him returning kicks. But I think for me, the other guy, not that really has a chance to miss the team, but I want to see what Brandon Faison can do this year, because last year we saw the puff pieces on Brandon Faison. We saw, I mean, some good play in the preseason from Brandon Faison, but we didn't really see him get on the field last year very much. So I'm excited to see what he can do going into his second season with how highly the coaches thought about him last year. So that is going to wrap things up for today's show, guys, for the cornerback position group breakdown. I'm really excited to see how this one plays out, and I think it's going to be one of the big strengths of the Chargers, especially if you get the pass rush back. I mean, that's what benefited Trevor Williams a lot in 2017 as well, was just, hey, they were getting a pass rush like crazy after that 0-4 start. I mean, and it makes the game a lot easier for those cornerbacks on there. But that is it for today. Until next time, guys, make sure to go follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page, Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us wherever you get your podcast from, whether it's Google Podcasts, Himalaya Podcasting App, TuneIn, or wherever. That's where you can get the show first before everyone else does. And thank you to Gonzalez for calling into the Locked On Chargers voicemail line. We're going to have your voice on the voicemail show we do. Just need a couple more guys. And remember, you can get your voice on the show by calling in to 323-524-7924. Every voicemail gets played on the show. So make sure you guys hit that up and get your voice on the Locked On Chargers podcast. So we will be back with you guys next time. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.